Well, today we're going to continue in a series we've been doing all summer long called Characters of the Bible. Characters of the Bible. And this has been an exciting series as we have been looking, just diving into different Bible characters. So not only looking at different Bible characters, but looking at certain character traits or something unique about them. And many of you have told me that you are just enjoying this because you're hearing about some people maybe you never heard of before, and then others that you've already heard of, but you maybe didn't understand completely some of the things we talked about. And today is probably one of those days where you've heard a lot about this guy. We're going to talk about Peter, the man who got out of the boat. Peter, the man who got out of the boat. Now, today, out of all the disciples, I guess Peter has probably got to be most popular. I think Peter's got to be the most popular of disciples from the simple fact that we can relate to Peter, can't we? I mean, Peter was first of all, he liked to fish. So, you know, anybody who likes to fish can't be bad. Right, guys? That's right. Okay. But not only did he like to fish, but he was always, you know, so passionate about doing something for Christ that many times he messed up. And even though he would only mess up when he tried to do something for Christ, and sometimes he would be so gung-ho that he's going to win the world, and the next day he's out blowing it. I mean, anybody relate to that? Okay, I know that Peter's the only one to ever make mistakes in this life. But today, Pete was a guy who was such an awesome character in the Bible because we see where he was fishing along the Sea of Galilee. And we see an encounter that he has with Christ. And let's pick it up. There was 3 points I want to talk to you about. 3 instances in Peter's life. 3 times that Peter got out of the boat. 3 times. And I'm going to build this message around these 3 times that Peter got out of the boat. The first time I want to talk to you about is when he decided to follow after Christ. Let's read in Luke 5, 8, and 11. And setting this scripture up, we know they've been fishing. These guys have been fishing, not having very, very good luck. They've had their nets out, and they're trying to fish, and they're not catching very much. But when Simon Peter saw that it was Jesus, he fell down to Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Isn't that amazing? We see Peter right here. What happened was Jesus said, "Hey, man, throw your nets out. You're going to catch all these fish. I know you haven't caught anything. We tried the other side. They throw the nets out, and the nets are just contained with fish. They'd never caught so many fish ever." And in this sign, Peter has a revelation. He knew who Christ was. He had heard his teachings. He had seen him. But this is the first-hand experience that he has with Jesus. And it says he goes to Jesus and he falls at his feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I mean, he's so humble to be in the presence of God. He says, I can't even be around you because I'm just a simple man. I'm just a fisherman. I mean, God, what would you have to do with me? He says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man," for amazement has seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And then it goes on to say that Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed after him. Let me say this to you. This is like Peter, that every one of us have to come to this point in our life when we leave our boat. Every one of us in our life had got boats of our life. And the boat represented so much in Peter's life because this had been the very thing that he was trained to do to provide for his family. His dad was a fisherman, and he was a fisherman. And they were commercial fishermen, you know. If they were alive today, they'd have their own reality series or something. You know, they'd be out there. World's Deadliest Catch. I can see Peter out there. That'd be the kind of guy Peter was. The man's man, you know. Burly out there in freezing cold, catching king crab, and then fishing over here. I mean, doing all this stuff. That's the kind of guy he was. And we see this happening in his life, that everything he knew, all of a sudden, with the encounter with Jesus Christ, he left it all. Everything he knew of his past, the way he was brought up, the way he raised his family, I mean, provided for his family, everything changed with the encounter of Christ. And let me say to you today that just like last week when we talked about Rahab and her forgiveness and how it brought change in her life, that when you have a real encounter with Jesus Christ, that it brings change to your life. That you cannot be the same person you was. It's impossible. When you have a true encounter with Christ, you cannot be the same person you was. Well, Pastor, do you mean that God just like, changes me and I become a Christian robot and I'm like this and all of a sudden I'm talking like TBN, hallelujah. I mean, what's happening? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a lifestyle change. I'm talking about a passion change. No longer did Peter care about just making money catching fish. No longer Peter care about just carrying on the family business, but Peter knew that he was called to be about the Father's business. Peter knew there was a change, a priority that took place in his life. He knew that he could never get back in that boat and be satisfied again. He knew that he could never get out and cast out the net and catch fish and be satisfied. What used to bring him pleasure, what used to bring him satisfaction, no longer was going to satisfy, because he had just encountered a true living God. And today, if you've never encountered Jesus Christ in a personal way in your life, you're missing it. Because when you have a true encounter with Christ, you want to change. There's something about you that says, I can't stay the same way. I can't talk the same way. I can't hang around the same friends I used to hang around. I've got to change some things in my life. Peter got out of the boat. I wonder how many of us today stay in our boat. I wonder how many of us today will stay in this boat and we'll stay there. And Jesus is calling at us. Jesus is yelling at us. Come on, let me teach you. Get in the game. Be a part of this. I'm not talking about just having this trophy of forgiveness that we talked about last week, but I'm talking about jump in, dive in, get a part. I want to teach you how to catch men. I want to teach you how to change people's lives. He was saying, man, you think it's exciting to haul in a big catch full of fish. You wait till I show you how excited it is to haul in a big catch full of souls. I mean, Peter's life would never be the same. Peter changed. And when you have an encounter like Peter had, you will change. You'll be willing to leave it all behind. And I wonder how many of us, though, we're so scared. We know we hear God's voice calling us from week to week. We hear his voice calling us to do something different, to jump out and to take an adventure in life and just to put God, trust in God and say, God, I'm just going to go after you and I'm going to do your will in my life, no matter what the cost. And I'll leave my comfort behind. I'll leave some things behind that I have security in. I'll leave some relationships that have been secure for me, because I know if when I hang around these people that I don't make wise decisions. And so I'm going to begin to make some new friends with people who are going to encourage me so I can come strong in my faith, so I can still reach out to those friends and teach them what it means to be a Christian and to show them by my example that God can change my life. It was an amazing time in Peter's life. He decided to leave his boat behind. The second time we see Peter getting out of the boat here was the time of the storm. And we see where Jesus had sent his disciples on, and they were out on the lake, and they were heading across to the other side of the shore. And as they're out in the middle of this big lake, the storm comes, and waves begin to toss, the word of God says, and they begin to get frightened. They get fearful. And we see the second point here is Peter gets out of the boat during the storm. Let's read about this in Matthew 14, verses 27 through 31. It says, Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. This is Jesus walking on the water now, okay? Some of you say, Pastor, I hear you right. Yes, Jesus walked on the water. Jesus walked on the water, and he spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Listen to what Peter says. And Peter says to him, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This was an amazing time in Peter's life, because we see Peter doing something that seemed impossible. I mean, if I told you today, if we went out into the lake today, and I said, all right, get out of this lake and walk across the water, you would look at me and say, all right, Pastor, what have you been smoking today? What's going on? You know, what's happening here? You're a little loopy. You look crazy. What is it? It seems like a very just outrageous, crazy statement, doesn't it? To think about walking on water. And we're not talking about stones on the water. This wasn't 2 inches of water. We're talking about, you know, the deeps of the lake here. It's a very deep sea. And we see this happening in a place where Jesus begins to walk on the water in the middle of the storm and comes to them. I wonder how many times in our life have we ever had storms in our life going on? How many times in your life have you ever had the winds of life blowing around and the waves of the sea, and you feel like you're being tossed around, and you feel like, man, this problem I'm going through, this time and season of my life I'm going through is such a stormy time. And it's in those times that many times that Christ will come to us. He'll appear to us. He'll say, hey, it's all right. Come to me. Come to me. You notice he didn't calm the storm? Now, another time in Scripture, it says that he got up and he calmed the storm. But at this point, he hadn't calmed the storm. He walks out in the middle of the storm. He walks out right into the middle of the storm and says, "Hey, Pete, quit crying about being afraid. Come here. Come on." And says, Pete gets out of the boat and walks toward him. And as he begins to focus on the storm again, he loses the sight of Jesus and begins to sink. And Jesus reaches out and grabs him and says, "Oh, Pete, oh, Peter, you have little faith, man. Don't doubt. Come on, man." And pulls him back up. Such a powerful lesson when we realize that even when we go through storms in our life, that we never lose focus on who God is in our life. Because God will come to you in the middle of your storm many times. You're going through things in your life today, and some of you, you're there. Some of you today, you walked in as a pastor. My life is just a storm right now. My life right now is just a wreck. Things are happening. And I just don't feel like I can, I just don't feel like I have the strength to make it. And I just feel like I'm being tossed around. I don't know what's going to happen. Today, let me tell you this, that Jesus sees where you are. And he walks to you in the middle of your storm today and says, "Keep your eyes on me. Just keep your eyes on me." It was a remarkable time because Peter could have said, "No, Lord, yo, you crazy. I know you're Jesus, you're God's son and all, but I'm Peter, the fisherman. There's no way I'm leaving this boat." That would have been my response. "Lord, throw me a life jacket, a set of skis, and I might think about it." But no, get out and walk on the water. What faith it took. I wonder how many times that God says things to us just like that. "Hey, I know you're going through a storm, but get out of that boat. Come here. God, I can't walk right now. I'm going." And God says, I dare you. I dare you to keep your eyes on me and try. I dare you to keep focused on me and try. And it's in those times that we're going through things we do not understand. We're grieving in our heart. We're turmoil at home, and things happen in the job or in our finances, and things are happening we do not understand, that God comes to us and says, "Keep focused. Come here. Just come to me." Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you that instead of me calming the storm, I'm going to walk out in the middle of the storm. Here I am. See all this thing happening? See all the storm going on? I'm right here in the middle of your storm. I'm right here in the middle of your chaos. He's saying, "Come here. Come here." It was a defining moment in Peter's life. Can you imagine the impact of getting out of that boat? I mean, you talk about faith. I don't know if I could have had that kind of faith. Pete had it. He got out. Began to walk toward Jesus. Yeah, he got sidetracked and he lost sight of Jesus and began to sink. And Jesus picked him up and said, "Keep your eyes on me. Don't lose faith." But man, he got out of the boat. How many of us stay in the boat all of our life? How many of us stay in the boat and never take a chance? And God's coming to us. And he's like, "Get out of the boat. Do something for me. I know there's a storm in your life. And I know your focus is not, he says, you can't see. You can't see to the shore. That's why I've come to you. That's why I've walked in the middle of your storm. I know you're wanting the storm to stop and the storm to cease. But many times, I just come to you in the middle of the storm. And even though the storm's going on, I'm speaking to you. I'm going to calm you down. I'm going to keep your focus on me." You know, as you watch these guys in training camp going on right now, the preseason football is happening all across the NFL, and these guys are meeting every day, practicing. I was watching some of the drills they were taking quarterbacks through. And this quarterback would snap the ball, and as they took the ball back, he would have cones on the ground, blocking cones, and he had to, without looking at them, he had to shuffle his feet over the cones, and then he had to shuffle backwards and then back sideways through it. And before he threw the ball, he had about five guys that were hitting him with blocking dummies. And the other guys, who were throwing them at him. I mean, you're talking about, you know, what kind of training is this? I mean, these guys are just smiling. The quarterback's out there, and they're popping them in the head with the pads, and they're throwing them at him. What are they trying to do? I mean, couldn't he learn a lot better if that wasn't happening? Couldn't he learn to play better if it wouldn't distract us so much? But the coach knows that that's the way it's going to be in the game. The coach knows that he's going to get hit during the game. He's going to be running for his life in the game. He knows his line probably isn't that good. And so he's teaching them right now, you better learn how to run, boy. You better learn how to throw that ball on the move, because it ain't going to get any easier. I wonder how many times that God comes to us and is like, listen, this is life. Storms are going to happen in life. Trials are going to happen in life. Yeah, I know you'd like for me to stop it coming, and there will be a season of that, but right now, you're going to go through it. It's a part of life, but you know what? If you'll stay focused on me, if you'll just watch me, if you'll just keep your focus on who I am and put your faith in me, get out of the boat, come to me, it's going to be okay. It was a defining moment in Peter's life as he got out of the boat. I wonder how many of us stay in our boat. God's calling us to come to him. We have all kinds of excuses. As soon as the waves calm down, I will. God's calling at you. Get out of the boat. Come on, get out of the boat. And we're like, all right, God, as soon as the winds die down, I will. God's like, get out of the boat. And you're like, but there's lightning. And I'm afraid of lightning. God's like, get out of the boat. We make excuses and we stay in that boat. And we wait for the perfect time to get out. And you know what? There's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect time. There is a perfect time, and that time is when Jesus tells you to, when Jesus calls at you, and he comes to you and says, get out of the boat. And so we see that Peter got out of the boat, and it wasn't long after this that Peter went on, and he grew in his ministry with God, and Jesus was teaching disciples, and we see that as Jesus drew near to his death, he began to talk about how he was going to die, and toward the very end, he had a last supper with the disciples, and he told his disciples, hey, man, it's for me. This is time. This cup is not going to pass from me. It's time for me to do the will of the Father and to give his life up. And as he was trying to explain it to his disciples, he even said that, hey, when are you going to betray me? When are you going to betray me? And Peter's like, Jesus, never would I betray you. Who is it, God? Tell me who it is. I'll knock him down right now. Just like Peter, wasn't it? You tell me who's going to betray you right now, and I'll get rid of them. We'll have 11 disciples just like this. We'll get the votes together. It'll be clean and done. He was ready. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. You're so worried about the one who's going to betray me. You're going to deny me. Never, Lord, would I. Never. And we see Peter full of guilt here. And as we head into our next point, when Peter got out of the boat, of course, we find Peter, what happened? They took Jesus away. And of course, the next scripture in Matthew 26:69 says it like this. They had arrested Jesus, and they're having this kangaroo court out there trying to bring Jesus to trial. And it says, now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you too are with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. And Peter goes on to deny Christ 3 times. And as soon as he denied Christ 3 times, it says that the cock crowed and he realized Jesus' words came back to haunt him. He had denied Christ 3 times. He had miserably failed him when Jesus needed somebody to stand up for him the most. When Jesus needed somebody to just to be there close. I mean, Pete wanted to. That's why he was there. I mean, he was not so fearful. He showed up. He was lingering around trying to see what's going to happen. I can see him thinking, is there an opportune time? I'll reach in and I'll take Jesus away. I'll rescue him. Knowing Pete in his heart, that's the way he was thinking. But when he was confronted, are you really with him? No, I don't know who he is. He blew it miserable. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm with him. I was there when he fed the 5,000. I was there when he walked on the sea and told me to come to him. I was there when the lame walked. I was there when the blind see. I was there. I knew him. And I'll stand with him. And if it means dying with him, I'll die with him. But Pete didn't have that courage at that time, did he? He blew it, so I didn't know who he was. Can you imagine the hope crushed in his heart when he realized he had abandoned his Savior. Can you imagine the desperate feel of knowing I've just blown it? I mean, Pete knew it. He was in such guilt, he ran away. He had just blown it. I mean, how many of us can relate to that? How many of us have ever just blown it? When you know to do the right thing. When you know in your heart you're supposed to do the right thing, and we choose to do the very thing we shouldn't do. And we feel like, you know what? Oh, I'm such a failure. I'm so crushed. And many of us had the same reaction that Peter did. It says Peter ran. He was so upset that he quit. He said, that's it. I'm not a disciple no longer. That's it. And we see shortly after that, of course, when Christ was crucified. And during that time of his crucifixion, and from the time that he rose from the dead, Peter makes his way back to Galilee, back to the place where Jesus first called him. He was so heartbroken. He was so searching for answers. He says, you know what? I'm just going to go out and go fishing again. How many of us do that? We'll blow it so bad, instead of doing what God's called us to do, we'll go back to the familiar thing we used to do. The very thing God called us from, the very thing that God called us out of, because we blew it, we'll go back and find ourselves doing the same thing. Well, I blew it now. I might as well go back and fish. Oh, I blew it now. I might as well go back and just get back to part of the family business. I blew it now. I might as well go back and just do this because God could never use me again. How many of us have ever been there? If you're not there, you will be. How many times have we blown it and we feel such remorse, and just like Peter in our heart, we just want to give up. Well, what's the use of coming to church then if I can't even serve God during the week and I blew it this week? I don't even need to come to church. And you'll find yourself going back and doing the things you used to do. And I really love this response because I believe that it's something that is such a turning point in Peter's life and ministry, and we can get so much out of it. It's the third point when Peter got out of the boat was this. When Peter gets out of the boat after he had quit, let's pick up his story in John chapter 21. Verse 6 says, and Jesus said to them, I didn't know this was Jesus at the time. They're back there fishing. Peter's back to doing the thing he was doing. And Jesus said to them, cast your net to the right side of the boat, and you will find the catch. And they cast, and when they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish, therefore the disciple, this is John, who Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, first of all, I want to say to all the teenagers here, this is not scriptural background for you to go fishing naked, okay? Some of you I know, your minds are already turning. All right, Pastor Gene said scripture. He still had on his loincloth. He was still decent, but he put on his outer robe. And it says that he was there, and he says he's fishing. He's giving up. Can you imagine? I'm not catching anything. I'm not catching anything at all. Been fishing all night. Boy, this is great, isn't it? I mean, I can imagine Peter. Boy, I came back to this. Wow. Woo-hoo. How many of us have done that? We go back and, you know what? I failed, so I might as well go hang out with these people. And you get around them, you're like, wow, boy, this is exciting. Wow, I used to do this every Friday night. Wow. Woo-hoo. It loses its lure. It loses. It becomes dull to you. But you go back to it anyway, because you feel like quitting, because you just don't feel like you're good enough. And we learn so much from here, because Jesus comes and says, hey, if you throw your nets on the other side, this is just Jesus' sarcasm, in case you want to know. I love it. Instead of saying, hey, I'm here, he goes, hey, if you throw your nets on the other side, you'll catch more fish. Where do we see that at? Oh, all the way back to Peter's calling and conversion. Jesus goes right back to the very basics and says, hey, remember when I told you to throw your net on your side and you caught the fish? It's me. And it says that Peter realizes, but John says, it's the Lord. And Peter realizes, and what does Peter do? He says he throws back on his clothes and he jumps in. He can't even wait. He jumps in and dives in and he swims to the shore. Isn't it amazing that sometimes Jesus comes walking on the water to us and other times he calls us from far? We can learn a lot about this, that many times that Jesus will come in the middle of your storm and pull you out of the boat and calm you down. But other times, a storm is not happening, and you blew it, and you quit, and you go back and find yourself sitting in that rotten boat again, a stinking fishing boat. You'll find yourself sitting right back where you started. And instead of Jesus walking out in the water where you are, he'll see you from afar and say, "Hey, woo, come. Leave that place I brought you from. Leave that past I called you to leave behind. Don't go back to that place. I'm calling you. Come to me." And it's in those decisions when we quit and feel like giving up that we have to jump back out of the boat. That's what Pete did. He'd been crushed, and he's like, "Is it you, Lord?" And he jumps out, and he dives, and he goes to Jesus. And we see as he gets to the shore, Jesus says, "Hey, man, bring some fish with you. We'll have some dinner." And when he gets some of those fish out, he realizes that Jesus is already cooking dinner. He's got breakfast already going for him. I mean, I would love to taste that. Just in my heart, I bet they had angel food cake right here and some fish. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I just would have loved to have that breakfast that morning. And look at what he says to him. He says, Jesus said in John 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John." This is Jesus' first words to him, okay? After they get back, they've ate breakfast, everybody's silent. I mean, how many know that eerie silent feeling where you want to say something about the pink elephant in the room, but no one wants to say anything? This is what's going on. Peter's like, "All right, I denied you 3 times, you know it. I blew it. You told me I was going to let somebody together. You told me. I deny you. I said I wouldn't, but I did do it. I blew it. I quit." And so Peter's thinking, "Boy, here it comes. You know, here it comes. I'm going to get one of these big lectures from Jesus. He's going to give me one of these big parable things and teach me how I did. It's not right to deny the Christ. And here it comes, this big parable." And notice what Jesus says to Simon. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Then he said to him, "Then tend to my lambs." Then he said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things." You hear in Peter's voice, distressed. "Lord, you know all things. I know you can read my mind. You can read my heart. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Why is this important? Because here Peter has had a major failure in his life. He had quit his call. He'd given up on everything. And when Jesus comes to him and says, "Hey, come here," and calls him back out of the boat, and he gets out of his boat and leaves it and comes back to Jesus, what's the first thing Jesus says to him? As he say, "Peter, why did you deny me? Peter, I warned you. Peter, you blew it. Peter, when are you going to grow up? Peter." He simply says, "Peter, do you love me? Pete, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Then feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Shepherd my people. Take care of the little ones who need to know me." What an unusual statement for someone who had just blown it to hear from the Savior. But it was more than just instruction. It was God's way of teaching us that when we've blown it, that he really cares about the most important thing. And the most important thing is, do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul? And do you love your neighbor as yourself? He said, this is the greatest thing you can do, is to love me with everything in your heart and learn to love your neighbor as yourself. And so he brings Peter all the way back to the very basic thing about being a Christian. "Pete, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Pete, do you really, really love me?" "I do, I do." "Then get out of yourself, get out of your boat, and take care of people." And today, how many of us are in our boat of self-pity? How many of us are in our boat of discouragement because we've blown it or things haven't gone our way? How many of us are in our boat of depression? How many of us are in our boat of resentment? And we're sitting there, and Jesus is calling us, Get out of our boat. Leave this boat. I can't, Lord. This is my boat. You don't know what happened to me. I was hurt. I failed. I hurt a lot of people. I blew it. I'm just a simple fisherman. See, this is why I'm in the boat. You can never use me. And Jesus says, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Leave this place behind. Come to me. And when you come to him, he says simply this, do you really love me? It's just, I don't want to go over and hash your past. I don't want to go over and talk about how you blew it. I want to talk about right now, today, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Then quit sulking. That's what he's saying. Quit being a baby in your boat and get out and take care of somebody. It's time for you to put your big boy pants on and get out of the boat and take care of somebody. And I guarantee you this. This is such an important lesson that when we get out of our self-pity and we get out of our failure and we get out of focusing on me, and we start taking care of people and helping people for the cause of Christ, your life cannot help but be changed. You can't help but see things different. When you focus on helping somebody else, you forget about your problems, and it brings comfort to yourself, and it helps you. When you see God use you to change somebody's life, you're like, wow, God hasn't forgotten me. Wow, yeah, I blew it, but God can still redeem me, and God can still use me, and God's still got a plan for my life. But you'll never find that plan sitting here sulking in our boat. Three times Peter was called to get out of his boat. First time at conversion, he left it. The second time during a storm time, it was a step of faith, the trust in the Lord. The third time was when he had quit. He'd given up thinking that God could never use him again. We find where he jumps out of the boat and God's asking him the simple thing, do you love me? Let's get back to the basics right here. It's all about loving me and loving people. Let's bow our heads this morning. With your head bowed today, I wonder where we're at. I wonder today if we could all just be honest with ourselves, if we could ask ourselves this question. What boat are we in today? Are we in the boat, the very first boat Peter was in? Some of you here today, you probably are. As all of us have been at one time in our life. You're either there or you've been there. And it's a simple question. Are you ready to leave the person you are behind and say, God, I want to follow after you. God, I want to accept your love and forgiveness today. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to learn to leave my boat and to accept your love and forgiveness. Today, if you're here, say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to leave that first boat, just like Peter. I need to leave that today. I need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive me my sins. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. I want to make sure that I'm following after God's heart. I can't be the same person I was. I will not embarrass you in any way today. No one's looking but me. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life today. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Lift it high. Anybody here today can raise a hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus today. I want to give you the opportunity. Can you raise your hand today? Second question today is this. If you're here, say, Pastor, I've got out of that boat, but I find myself maybe in the middle of a storm. I find myself in the middle of a storm today, and I hear God's voice calling me in the middle of a storm, and he's calling me to come out and to trust him in my storm. But instead, I keep looking at my circumstances. I keep looking at things going on around me, and I'm losing my focus. And today, I just want to get out of the boat and keep my eyes focused on the real thing. That's Jesus Christ. Today, if you're here and you feel like God's calling you to get out of that boat today, can you raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I need to get out of that boat. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. God's calling me to get out of my boat of fear. Fear of my circumstances. Fear of my surroundings. Fear of things that are going on. Thanks. Thanks, guys, for being honest. Anybody else today? See, that's me. I gotta quit focusing upon the storm. We're gonna focus upon Jesus. Anybody else here today? Thank you. Yeah, several other hands. This is all right. This is a good time. God's speaking to you, and you're processing this. What's going on in your heart? I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I gotta learn to focus. The last boat he was at was this boat of depression, man. This boat of quitting. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, that's me. I've made some major mistakes in my life, and even though I feel like I'm a Christian, I still feel like God could never use me the way he needs to. And so I've kind of just quit. I quit thinking God would ever use me again. I quit thinking God would ever want to use me. And I've allowed myself to stay in this boat. And today I need to jump out of this boat and I need to swim to Jesus. And focus back on the real thing. If God's calling you out of that boat today, can you raise your hand? If that's what God's speaking to you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. You feel like, man, Pastor, God can use me. I got to get out of this boat today. I'm stuck in this boat. God's wanting to use you. He asks you that simple question today. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Let's stand today. And you know, as the story ends and they finish up their breakfast on the beach, it's amazing that Jesus turns to Peter and says, hey, Pete, oh, by the way, when you get old, you're going to be led around and this is how you're going to die. And he kind of prophesies to him and tells him how he's going to die. And Peter looks at John and says, but God, what about John? What's this Peter going to be like? And right away, Jesus has to look at him and said, Peter, if I want to keep this guy alive until I come back, you know, if I want to keep him alive for 2,000 years, what's it to you? What was Jesus trying to teach him? Peter, and I believe he's speaking to you and I today, was this. Peter, focus on yourself. Peter, worry about yourself. Let me handle the person next to you, okay? There's something about being focused. And today, I believe he's speaking that same thing to you and I as we get out of the boat. All right, you got the boat. You say, oh, I'm out of the boat, but what about him? They're not out of the boat. Well, I got out of the boat today, but my spouse, they're still in the boat. God bless them. And today God says to you, worry about yourself. Focus on what's important. Do you love me? Do you love me? And if so, show somebody. Shepherd somebody. Love somebody. Show them my grace. Show them my forgiveness. Feed my sheep. I'm going to pray for you today, especially for those who raised their hands today for different areas and said you want to get out of the boat. I believe today can be a defining moment in your life. I believe today can be a moment, just like Peter had these three defining moments when he got out of the boat. Today you can remember that today was the day I decided to get out of my boat of depression. I decided to get out of my boat of self-pity. I decided to get out of my boat and quit focusing upon the storm around me and put my eyes upon Jesus. Father, today, right now, Lord, as we close out this service together, Lord, I pray for every person here. I pray for those who raised their hands today for the different areas, the different boats maybe they feel like they're in today. I pray, first of all, for those who feel like in their heart that, God, there are storms going on around them and they're focused so much on the storm that they lose sight of who you are. And I pray today that, God, as you come to them today in the middle of their storm and you stretch out your hands, say, come to me. The Father, we keep our eyes focused on you, that even in the middle of our storm, even when the winds blow and life hands us things that are not nice and they hurt and they are fearful at times, we keep our eyes focused upon you. Because we know as long as our faith is in you, we know as long as our hope is in you, that God, that you're going to sustain us, you're going to take care of us, you're going to protect us, and you'll keep us safe from harm. So today I pray for faith, Lord, to rise up and those people who raised their hands for that today. I pray to a faith, Lord, to get out of the boat and to do something never done before. This is Peter got out and walked on water. That seems so impossible to man. God, there's some things you're calling us to do that seems impossible to those that are around us. Some things you want us to do for you. And I pray that our faith today is challenged to live a life of faith, of getting out of the boat. I pray, Lord, for those who raised their hands today and said they feel like they're just have blown it all. They feel like God can never use them. You're calling them from a shore today to jump in. You're calling from the shore today to say, come to me. Leave that boat. Don't go back to the person you used to be. Don't go back to the familiar. Don't go back to the person I've called you out of. I pray for that person today, God, that they would have the faith, Lord, to jump out, to swim back to the place where they need to be in right relation with you and ask themselves this question, do I love you, Lord? And may the answer be, yes, I do. Help me to find somebody. Help me to give. Help me to minister to children, to people, to somebody else, to begin to pour myself into somebody else I can help, to get my attention off myself, to get my attentions off my failure, to get my attentions off of my shortcomings, and put my attention on who you are and helping other people. Father, I thank you today, Lord, because your word brings life and change to our life. I thank you today, God, because there's a group of people today I know are stepping out of the boat to put our trust in you. And we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. We'll see many of you on Wednesday night who can come, men's and women's, children's and youth, all happening here, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. You guys have a great week. God bless you.